The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed,
we are on a very lovely day. I think the rain has stopped. The Noah's Ark has stopped taking tickets, but nevertheless, it's been kind of an interesting few days. Welcome to the program. We have probably a topic that is one of the things that we all ignore more than anything else, and it has to do with your dietary patterns relative to your total overall immunological response and health. And it's really something that we, you know, we set aside, we give it verbiage and we talk about it, but we really don't get into the trenches on this thing. And it's really important that you understand that what goes in between those lips and you swallow for nutrition, energy, or just the taste of what it has an impact. It has a tremendous expression your immunological health is going to exhibit. And there's nobody better in our practice than somebody who's been around a long while, meaning that they have the experience, the bandwidth, you know, to be able to discuss this. And you had a little bit of a taste with her last week, Mary Jane Bamemek. She's one of our nutritionists. We have a great staff in that department. You know, at the Rozelle Center for Healing, we look at the body from a structural, chemical, emotional platform. We ask the question why things happen. We want to know if there's an injury of some sort. We want to know if there's a stress pattern. But we also have to know, is there the right formulation of fuel and the things that we need to put the body back together, the cement, if you will, to hold that substance? And if not, what happens over a period of time? And that's the subject. And this is the presentation that we're going to have ready for you and prepared for you this Wednesday evening, the 13th of July, at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, 7 p.m., right off the National Capitol Beltway, Route 50. Please join us. We do these programs ongoing for you, and to simply give you the information. And anytime you come, there's no obligation whatsoever. You're there, you ask questions, and we always have an opportunity if you want to take part with that, if you show up for these classes. Having said that, Mary Jane, welcome to the program, and you're becoming a regular on the show now.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Rozelle. Yeah, 2 weekends in a row after not being on a radio broadcast for about 2 years, you know, maybe even longer than that.
We'll see what happens as we get even, and then we can go again and just spearhead. But anyway, welcome to the program. It's important,
thank you. You
know, that this is a topic that is really critical when it comes to any type of healthcare treatment. And it's not a standalone. Obviously with weight loss and things like that, but even still, when you look at somebody's migraine headaches or you look at they're getting sick all the time, I don't feel good. The missing key, the link often is what they're putting in their system. We have a dietary pattern that everybody kind of consumes. It's called the SAD diet, right? The standard American diet. And that's really junk food diet, quick response. There's very few people that really understand that impact. So let's start from the place of understanding, if you will, how dietary patterns really affect immunological response. I mean, this is an area that you have a sweet spot. And so we're talking about nutrition. We're talking about immunity. But let's start with the beginning. Let me ask you this question. Why is it that diet is not just something that, you know, we got to grab some food. We need some energy. We can go about our day. But everybody's saying, no, you have to look at it a little differently. There's a tremendous impact on the body's immune system. How does that happen and why is that important?
70% of our immune system resides in our gut. And what I mean by resides in our gut, I mean it's that it's influenced by our microbiome. So the microbiome are, you know, the organisms, you know, the bacteria, the viruses, the protozoa, all of the little microbes that are there that aren't us. And I think what we need to start to think about is we're really not feeding ourselves. We're feeding them because we want to make sure that we promote the organisms that are going to serve us rather than the ones that are going to harm us.
You know, we're here at 888-630-9665. Mary Jane, hang on just a second. I want to ask you a follow-up on that because you walked into an area that can be extremely confusing. You know, we're talking about the immune response in the gut, and now we're talking about these bugs, these microbiome, these synergistic patterns, the good guys, the bad guys, if you will, within the intestinal tract have to be kept in a very specific balance. Otherwise, it tears that system down. So what are we talking about, the structure of the gut and the cellular formation within the intestinal system, or are we talking about these bacterium or these microbes, if you will, these things that you mentioned, are they the culprit or is it a combination of these things? How does this immune system really set itself up?
Well, I think, you know, one of the first things that we have to start with is just looking at the structure of the gut microbiome or the gut itself and the layer between the inside and the outside. And in this respect, the outside is really the tube. You know, it's where, you know, the food is as it's being digested and assimilated. But the barrier between that and your inner body is only one cell deep, which I think is still astounding after I learned this, you know, over 10 years ago. And the thing is that these cells, you want tight junctions between them. So you want them to fit like, you know, really close together. And you want the surface of the cells to have all these, you know, microvilli. And on top of that microvilli is a mucus layer. And that mucus layer is formed by, you know, the good bugs. And the thicker that layer is and the more healthy that layer is, it helps with the integrity of the epithelial cells.
Just for
and
a second,
keeping
just,
the junctions.
You're covering a huge amount of information, and some of it can be extremely confusing. So what I want to differentiate for our listeners is you mentioned things like microvilli. Microvilli are these little hair follicles that come out of a hair follicle-like, if you will, that come out of the intestinal tract. And what they do is they actually increase the area of absorption and reception of anything that you put in the system. And when we have bad input, meaning things that are not supportive to the intestinal tract, these microvilli can be eroded, they can be broken down, they can be destroyed. You talked about the tight network of cellular structure within the intestinal, we call it the lining or the lumen, and those things have to stay tight because if they don't, what happens is that now you begin to absorb more undigested particles and they become reactionary, if you will, or allergic in their response and can cause all kinds of inflammatory pathway problems as a result of that. Again, the information is so critical and it's, you're right on target. You're really appropriate with it. I just want to make sure that our listeners understand the technology that we're offering for them. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. And the other thing, too, is that we have to really retrain, I guess, our thoughts that a lot of our chronic diseases are really a result of a microbiome disease. And all of these, quote, diseases, they're non-communicatable. You know, it's not something that you're going to catch, you know, from somebody else. Although, I mean, we can talk about that you may have similar gut microbiomes as your other family members. But, you know, things like cardiovascular disease, obesity, inflammation, cancer, diabetes, allergies, autoimmune disease, neurological and mental disorders. I mean, they're all have a influence by what our gut microbiome is doing.
Again,
you know, either long-term or short-term.
You know, just to recap for our listeners, you know, when she's talking about, when Mary Jane is talking about microbiome, we're talking about the good guys, the bad guys, the bacterium, the viruses and so forth that live, mold, fungus, live in the intestinal tract. And as long as they stay in a balance, as long as they stay in a synergistic pattern, they actually support you. They're there for a reason. And when, you know, we talk about the balance of this thing, from the time somebody's about 3-4 months old, you have high levels of mold, and then the bacteria is in there, and it keeps each other in check. That's called the synergistic effect. And it's when one gets out of control, one gets too high or gets too low, that you have problems. And also, we talked a little bit about the barrier, if you will, the cellular barrier that allows food to pass from the intestinal system into the body to do what it needs to get done. But there's this thing. I'm going to ask you about another piece that's really critical. And since you brought up the subject of this intestinal barrier, and that's the zonulin interspace, if you will, the binding element between that. What is this? And it's talked about all over the internet. What is zonulin, and what does it have to do with this host setup that you're talking about?
When I think of, you know, zonulin, I think of it as being the molecule or like a zipper type function that keeps the epithelial cells in close contact with one another. But when we eat inflammatory foods, you know, i.e., you know, gluten or other contributing, you know, foods that are going to disrupt the barrier, what happens is that the zonulin molecule is going to unzip. So then these substances are going to pass directly into the bloodstream rather than being filtered through the cells. So normally, you know, you want the microvilli to allow certain things to come into the cells, and then the cells will basically put it into the bloodstream. But, you know, once you have the zonulin breakdown, you know, things go directly towards to the bloodstream and, like, you know, causes the immune reactions.
What I like to patients to think about when it comes to zonulin as a kind of a visualization, it's almost like a spigot. You can turn it down, you can turn it up, meaning if there's a lot of it, then it really controls the entry of all kinds of things into the body physiologically. If there's not enough of it, it's like opening a spigot and things just rush into the system. Zonulin is a protein. And, you know, if you look at it across the board, it's known as a protein that modulates this reaction that I just talked about. And, you know, interesting, Mary Jane, zonulin was not really appreciated or discovered until about 20 years ago. And about, I think it was 2000, the University of Maryland locally is their school of medicine. And they were, you know, they came up with that thought process. Has a lot to do, as we're finding out, with type 2 diabetics and so forth. We're going to get back. We have a very special program for you, one that I think is the core, the linchpin, if you will, to most health care conditions, either in the state of health or in the state of disease, dysfunction, disharmony. We can go on. You put the tag on it, whether it's cancer, whether it's Sjogren's, whether it's lupus, or any other immunological response, or your susceptibility to any viral pattern. And we all know about viruses over the last couple of years. My guest today, Mary Jane Bembemek. She is your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, the 13th. 7 p.m. at the Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Join us. We do these programs for your edification. We want you to have the data. We want you to have the information so you can help yourself. And remember, these are our gift to you. There is no charge. All we ask is a reservation. You can go online at RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com, or simply call 703-698-7117. And reserve your seat. That much we do need for you is reserve your seat so we can confirm it. And if anything comes up, that we can reach and say, hey, things have shifted a little bit. But it's this Wednesday evening, the 13th. Make it happen. Mary Jane, welcome back to the program. Let's get a little bit further into this understanding, if you will, of why the gut plays such a major impact in immunological systems across the board and its effect on why does it start there? Why does it start in the intestinal system?
So the question I don't know.
The better question is, why is it such an interreactive pattern between intestinal tract and everything else, the inflammatory barriers that are set up? And that's probably a better question. Why is that intestinal system so critical in handling, in modulating, if you will, inflammatory reactions and subsequently the expression to other systems within the body?
Well, because I think, you know, it's mind-boggling as to how complex the role of the microbiome is. It's communication. It's, you know, communication between other microbes, communication with our cells, communication with cytokines. It makes the gut tissue. There's multiple different functions of what this gut microbiome does.
Well, here's the thought process that most people also don't connect. And it, again, has to do with the intestinal tract. So, you know, in today's world, we're so worried about things like Alzheimer's disease and Parkinsonian problems and just old age dementia and so forth. So the question becomes, where does that come from? Well, here's the other piece. You talked about the gut having 70% of immunological reactions, but it also has the ability to produce 80% of all the neurological transmitters that the body needs, that the brain uses and so forth. So if the intestinal tract is not working properly, then those things don't present at the level that they need to replace those common pathways. So you have an inflammatory reaction neurologically within the brain. You have it within other systems that need, the old-fashioned term would be adrenaline. Now we know it's epinephrine and norepinephrine and GABA and serotonin and so forth. They have far-reaching impact on many cell receptors throughout the body. So if the gut's not working, not only do you have an initial inflammatory pathway problem, but you also have a neurological neuroreceptor problem and the body can no longer communicate. And I apologize. That's where I was going with some of this, because it's so critical to understand why this mechanism. People who've had their intestinal tracts removed have a much higher expression, if you will, of immunological problems. We only have a couple minutes, but have you seen, Mary Jane, in your clinical experiences last year, particularly people whose guts are a mess, we'll use that, have more susceptibility to viral expression, particularly this COVID problem that we've walked our way through? Do they seem to be more susceptible?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, and two, maybe possibly, you know, three reasons. Number one is stress. I mean, because I think, you know, stress has been just, you know, just like off the wall, you know, the past, you know, 2 to 3 years. And stress is a big influence on negatively affecting the microbiome, you know, what lives and what doesn't live. And then also, too, I mean, like, I think what we eat has changed, you know, some people's availability of getting food and the choices that you're making.
We're coming up to a break, so hold that thought.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
All of us should have as much information as we possibly can, because we'd solve so many problems within this country, particularly on things that go bump in the night, meaning we don't know why. Idiopathic conditions, meaning, you know, the physician doesn't know what took place, where it's coming from. Well, often we miss the most important piece, and that's the intestinal microbiome. My guest, Mary Jane Babemek, and we're talking, she's one of our nutritionists at the Results Center for Healing. Great woman, tremendous knowledge base. We want to get into this a little bit more. We talked about structural, chemical, emotional pathways as it relates to your health, but particularly as it relates to your intestinal tract. She said that 70% of your immune system stems from that intestinal system, and I brought up a little later that we had 80% of your neurotransmitters, your neurological receptors. And by the way, we're here at 888-630-9625. Give us a call. I'd love to talk to you. Mary Jane, welcome back. Let's get into this a little bit deeper. Let's bring back off of what we were talking about before the break and how stress, and God knows we've had a ton of it over the last couple of years, how stress can affect that immunological system, that microbiome, and distort it in a way that it truly depresses and suppresses immunological response pathways and subsequently our health.
Well, our bodies are not designed to function with chronic stress. And the thing about chronic stress is that it's cumulative. If everybody would just maybe close their eyes and just assess, like, what is their stress? I mean, is it one? You know, is it two? Is it five? You know, is it seven? You know, but they all build on one another, and it's all having effect on our microbiome and our immune system, because, you know, we're going to be different if we're in the sympathetic, which is the fight or flight mode, or the parasympathetic, which is the rest and relax. And also, too, with the parasympathetic, I think also, too, it's a nice way to parlay into sleep. And, you know, not having sleep is a big stressor. And I think, you know, over the past 2 years, a lot of our schedules have changed where so many people are sleep deprived that it's really scary. And it's not just a function of the people that are over 50, but there is like a huge group of people that are like under 30, and it just continues to amazes me that, in a sense, I shouldn't be amazed, you know, anymore, because it's so frequent.
You know, when we're dealing with a stress pattern on any level whatsoever, a lot of people don't even realize that they're under stress, because it becomes their natural way of living. You know, living in the metropolitan area here in Washington, D.C., just our normal activity of going and doing and completing, and everything is under time frames. I remember when I moved to Washington many, many, many years ago, back in the early 80s, I came from a town where I wondered how far it was mileage-wise to go from point A to point B. Here, that paradigm shifts, and it's how long does it take me to go from point A to point B? A whole different thought process, and people used to laugh at me. But that's where the stress pattern comes in. You know, that same 2 miles in the late afternoon, if you're going home in the middle of rush hour, is far different than that 2 miles early in the morning when you're coming to work, if you went in as early as I did to see patients at 5:45. So, you know, the microbiome is related to immunological response. It's related to aging process. It's related to what we call the gut-brain barrier. And let's talk a little bit about that and how irritable bowel, if you will, there's a miscommunication, if you will, between your gut and your brain that allows your body to begin to express itself differently, anxiety, depression, and so forth. Let's just touch upon that just a little bit, and because that's a critical piece with all this craziness we're seeing in this world. And again, I'd like to remind our listeners of two things. We're here at 888-630-9625. Give us a call. We'd love to answer your questions. But more importantly, join us this Wednesday evening, the 13th of July, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Be our guest. We'd love to give you as much data and information as we possibly can so you can make the small changes that may make huge and profound differences in your health. So let's get into that just a little bit, Mary Jane, and talk about this gut-brain connection and the anxiety cycles that come about because of it.
Well, I think one thing that I want to maybe list is some of the symptoms or signs of, you know, IBS, just because, you know, some people may think they're normal because they routinely get constipated, or maybe they have diarrhea every now and then, or they have pain or cramping, you know, maybe bloating, maybe nausea, maybe, you know, increased gas. But that is really like not the normal way that the body is functioning. And that could be like an indication that you have, you know, IBS, that, you know, your diet needs to be addressed, or some of your aspects of your lifestyle needs to be reevaluated. But one of the main things that we're going to focus on Wednesday evening would be antidepressant nutrients. And there was an interesting study that blew me away, but they did identify, you know, 12 different nutrients that help to improve our moods. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the foods that you should be eat that would have a really high score of these 12 nutrients.
You know, the interesting situation is we talked a little bit about the neurotransmitters that are formed in the gut and that do affect the brain. At one point, the medical community said, yeah, well, they're formed in the gut, but they have no impact on the brain. The point of it is, yes, they do. And some of the feel-good things, the serotonins, right, calm people down, the GABA pathways that are also calming to the brain. And then the upregulating cycle of dopamine. Those things exhibit a profound connection between the gut, and that's where that gut-brain axis came into play. So if we're causing inflammation because of the types of foods that we're eating, the fast food, the junk food, the additives, the preservatives, all the garbage, if you will, that's in our food systems today, that's going to cause swelling. It's going to cause irritation. It's going to cause a breakdown in those zonulin gaps. It's going to cause that microvilli, those glial cells to become diminished. And subsequently, we're not going to get the expression of those things. We're going to get a hyperreactivity, as you had talked about earlier, in the sympathetic fight-flight situation. Now they're burning the fuel up and it no longer exists. So how often, when you see a patient walk into the office and they have whatever it is that they have, they could have profound degenerative arthritis. They could have immunological reaction of some sort, which, by the way, arthritic conditions are immune responses all by themselves. How often do you see that it's related directly to intestinal tract imbalances, an imbalance in the microbiome, and just a garbage, crappy diet?
Probably 100%.
That's huge.
So, yes, yeah.
So how do you sell that? Because most people think that what they're doing and what they're eating is, you know, it's fine. They're listening to the commercials and they're grabbing this protein. They're doing this. They're putting this energy source in their body and they think it's all good. How do you show them that, you know, it may not be the best thing? How do you talk them about the balance that should be there that obviously is not?
I try to get agreement with the patient to do a clinical trial, you know, maybe to avoid one substance for a period of 2 to 3 weeks. And over that time period, they would observe for either, you know, changes in their digestion, changes in their sleep patterns, you know, maybe changes in their mood. And so once they, you know, buy into that and they make those changes and they observe things that are significant, then they kind of see like, oh, I get it. You know, I want to explore this diet protocol, nutrition, you know, in a big way.
You know, it's... I used to tell patients when I do a late lecture that here's what you have to think about as far as food goes into your system, because it does the same thing. If you had a hole in the wall, a plaster hole, and you wanted to fix it, if you took just flour, white bleached flour, you put a little bit of salt, a little bit of water, you mix it up so it was a heavy, thick paste, you could put it in that hole in the wall and it would become hard enough that you could sand it down, you could prime it, you could paint it, and you would never know the difference. and we think that we're getting flour, but that's what happens in the intestinal tract. It can cause that type of damage, and it gets into the cellular structure and cause a deformation, if you will. Obviously, it's much more specific than that, but those are the pieces where if you have whole foods that are unadulterated, that haven't had a lot of things put into it, a mother who nurses, for example, is the baby is going to get everything that goes into the mother. The mother has a piece of chocolate, or if they're sensitive to wheat and grain and dairy products, that child will react with gas. The child will react with bloating and so forth. And that's because the transmission from what's happening in the mother's gut, any immunological response with the microbiome that you talked about, and that cellular expression. We are eating, if you will, nursing indirectly off of animals that have had things injected into them, that they've eaten foods, grasses that have been sprayed. That goes into those animals, and subsequently, it goes into us. How often do you see a patient that on paper, because we do a dietary history on everybody, that it looks like they're doing okay, but the quality of the food is truly not okay? And how do you talk to them about that? And they'll say, well, I'm eating vegetables, I'm eating meats, I'm eating breads, but you have to show them that they're being poisoned and the quality of the food is not what it should be.
And I no longer use the term processed food. I'm switching to calling it ultra processed food. And it's dead food. I mean, it's real, you know, it's not alive. It's not vibrant, and most likely it's going to be white and crunchy. And, I discuss with the patient, who's in front of me that we really need to, diversify what we're eating, and we need to eat, a lot of different colors,
you know,
and the different groups of the vegetables.
But I think my point is this: how do you talk to them about the broccoli that they're getting at Giant that is a conventional broccoli? And that means that it's grown in the field, it's broccoli, it's a vegetable, but it's being sprayed with stuff. And it's not the same as a broccoli that's organic. How do you talk to them about the differences about that? How do you tell them that even that whole that bread that's been processed, that looks like it's a, we'll call it a brown bread, is not the same as a sprouted bread, that the enzymes in them, the nutrient base, isn't at the level that you want them to have to heal with? I mean, that's a conundrum. How do you go about doing that? Because that's really what I want our listeners to understand, that even when they're trying sometimes, it's not enough.
Well, for like bread, for example, a lot of times I would ask them to, name the brand, and we'll look up that brand, you know, on the internet, and we'll look at the list of ingredients. And usually once we go through that together, their eyes really become enlightened. Like, oh, you know, I really didn't realize that it had all of these ingredients. I didn't realize that it was lacking that. I didn't realize that it was a lot of chemicals. So, I mean, that that tool that I use has been, you know, quite effective. And then I give them alternatives. You know, why don't you explore the next time you're shopping to buy this or to buy that? And then we also, you know, compare the labels, and they see the difference. But, you know, Dr. Roselle, you know, back to organic versus non-organic, we do talk about the Dirty Dozen, you know, the Clean 15. But for some people, it's, I'm happy if they're not eating broccoli. I mean, I don't care. Just eat any broccoli. I mean, any broccoli is going to be better than no broccoli at all. And then it goes back to, accessibility, you know, where are they shopping, and things of that nature.
You know, if patients took, if they took the time to eat foods that were conventional, if you will, and they wash them with a food grade hydrochloric acid, which you can buy at most health food stores. It's enough to take a little bit of that edge off, and they would begin to at least begin to change the matrix, because costs for a lot of people are involved here. But it's important that they understand that there are differences, and sometimes just getting somebody off of all the things that are polluted, just doing that can make a monumental difference in how the body reacts to the things that it's ingesting. How do you get them to say, well, I have my smoothie in the morning and I put this and that in it, but the smoothie itself may be questionable. How do you draw the difference in that?
Well, I need to know exactly what they are putting into their smoothie. And then, you know, for some of these smoothies, I will make recommendations as what they need to eliminate and what they need to add back in. And I often share with them, you know, what my classic smoothie is that, you know, I would make at home. But I would say the most common mistake that people make with their smoothies is, believe it or not, they may not add any protein. It could be more or less just a bunch of fruit. So they're just getting something that's really going to mess with their blood sugar regulation.
So sugar
but,
punch,
a smoothie
sugar punch,
is
sugar.
Not a fruit.
No, it's not.
Right.
And,
yes.
And the whole idea is to get the protein levels in there and the mineral levels in there, and they have to be done very well. And most people swallow those things like they're guzzling things down, and they're not mixing it with the digestive enzymes that they need to absorb it, a whole different topic as well. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We're talking about what the food is causing problematic changes in your immunological reactions, and that's the topic of this Wednesday night's presentation. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some incredibly important information.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzell live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. We appreciate you. And again, we would be remiss if we didn't thank our men and women in service for what you do, because without you, we couldn't do what we do. And I do my best to get back to you as quickly as you reach out. So any questions that you might have on any topic, please don't hesitate. I promise you I will facilitate it as best as we possibly can. My guest, Mary Jane Babemek, we're talking about your diet and its impact on immunological health and what happens and why the anxiety and why the depression and why your inflammatory levels are so high and why you can't get rid of that immune system problem and you're on tons of medications to kind of suppress the symptoms, and it goes on and on and on. Well, you have an opportunity this coming Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. You can listen to this amazing lady. I mean, she truly has the knowledge base and the years of experience to show you how you can change and tweak your dietary patterns to make a difference in your immune system. And I promise you something. If you just change a little bit of what you do on a day-to-day basis, you don't even have to be a superhero. But if you just want to try things and change things, we talked a little bit about, you know, your smoothies in the morning. Most of you don't have protein. You have way too much sugar in them, fast-acting sugars. You swallow them down without truly eating them and combining them with digestive enzymes. Just doing a few things, you'll find that it'll make a huge impact, major impact on how your body expresses itself, your energy level, your thought process, your relaxation, your ability to repair itself. Mary Jane, welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be covering this Wednesday evening when you do your program.
We're going to talk, obviously, about the gut microbiome. We're going to talk about the bacteria strains that we want to see. And then we're also going to talk about some of the strains that we don't want to see. And I'm going to focus a lot on how do we build up the microbiome so that it promotes health and not disease. And primarily that's going to be by fiber, you know, increasing our fiber intake. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what did ancient man eat, you know, in that comparison as to, you know, what's happening now in industrialized cultures. And I think is going to be the most fun is going to be in the very end of the presentation is you're going to actually see what I do. And, you know, quote, I'm a professional. So you'll get a peek into my refrigerator. You'll get a peek into, you know, what I buy and, you know, what I eat. As a little like demo, it's going to be like a demo through the slides, you know, not with real food, just to give people ideas as to, you know, how to do this. Because if you're not used to cooking, if you're not used to, you know, touching, a raw vegetable, it can be overwhelming. But, and then also too, like you had talked earlier about the diluted bleach solution, you know, I'll tell you, in detail, you know, how I clean my vegetables. And I'm a fanatic. It takes me probably more time than most people because I do buy my produce, I would say primarily directly from local farmers that are organic. And, you know, it's dirty. I mean, there's bugs, there's dirt. So I spend a lot of time like at the kitchen sink, you know, cleaning things. But, you know, you're not going to be doing that, you know, if you're buying your food from the grocery store. But yeah, it takes a lot of work to do what I do. But, you know, you'll see, you know, you'll see what I do. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that at the end. There's also like a little quiz as well.
You know, what an opportunity to be able to make minor changes. I can promise you this much. I have yet to see in over 45 years of practice, someone who begins to make changes, just eliminating things that are obviously detrimental to the body and making small tweaks and changing their capacity just by 10%, 15%, that they can't get monumental shifts and changes in their health. It's really critical. And this is really your ability to work that through, see what you can do with it. Mary Jane, I do have a question because I want to recap something that we went over in the beginning of the program. And so our listeners really get it. When we talk about microbiome, we're talking about the balance of microbes within the gut. Let's go over those one more time. We just have a few seconds left. Microbiome. Are microbes, what kind of microbes are they?
Well, I would say most of the presentation on Wednesday night, we're going to focus on the microbial microbes. We're going to talk about Bacteroides, Lactobacillus, Enterococcus, Firmicutes. And then also too, we're going to talk about like some of the specific strains and how they may promote, certain diseases if they're not, in high quantities and how to, you know, rebalance them. And also too, it's like probiotics, they're not the long-term solution. They can be used, to help people in acute stages.
People are going to have to come to the program now because we're coming up against the break, but this is a program that is going to give you a tremendous amount of information. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Remember, we continue to do this on an ongoing basis for one reason and one reason only. We love you all. You have a great day. We'll see you next week.